Good morning, everybody. Our students who are actually taking the service.
The Bible reading for today is in Mark 9, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with him about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, This kind can come out only by prayer.
All right, we will be doing one more song before Johannes comes out to talk. And we'll be doing number 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Number 200.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. And it's hard to believe that this is already our penultimate service here together at Erin Hill. So over the next 2 weeks, as you have heard, we will be gone for a 10-day outreach. And after that, we will only have one more Sunday here together on the 10th of March, on the 11th, something like that, yeah. So at this point, we would really like to thank you for all the wonderful time we could spend together over these last 6 months. And the warm welcome you gave us here every Sunday morning, over and over again. We really appreciate that, and we're also very thankful for the opportunity you gave us to prepare and lead this service here this morning. So maybe some of you have been wondering what we are doing at Cape and Ray for all this time. And sometimes I even have to think what I'm doing there. But obviously, if you want to go into Christian ministry, there would be many reasons to come to Bible college, such as Cape and Ray. But I know that there will be many of us who won't choose this path in life, and I'm very happy about that. As Paul says in Romans 12, 4-6, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And this is one of the beautiful things about Cape Henry, and a great picture of the body of Christ. There's such a variety of people there, with all different interests, different gifts and talents, but all with the same spirit, and together form one body. So how can you bring all these different people together? And what kind of teaching can be profitable to all? From my point of view, and I hope I speak for the others there as well, I have learned, or at least reapproved, many important lessons about discipleship and life as a Christian in the face of Jesus' death and resurrection, with inevitable consequences. It is not my life anymore, but Jesus' life in me. Not my power, but the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. On our Cape Henry shirts and hoodies, you have probably seen sometimes, it is written, "Christ in you, the hope of glory," from Colossians 1:27. Now, this is all great, and I've understood that. But often, it's so difficult to live out. And even though you actually know it, this truth does not shine through in your life. And you ask yourself, how is this possible? Well, I can encourage you, as one of our speakers put it at Cape Henry, the Christian life is impossible. But I strongly suspect that you will be not very satisfied with this answer, and I can understand that. So I think you had a series on the book of Hebrews over the last weeks, and there's one verse in Hebrews that has really stuck out to me. It's Hebrews 12:1-2. It says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Or as some translations say, the author and perfecter of our faith, which is better for me as a non-native speaker. You can understand that. So this is a great encouragement to me, and I can totally trust in Jesus, because he not only set an example of faith by his life, but he also helps me live my life more and more like him through the power of the Holy Spirit in me. But here we are again. Theory and reality are not always the same in life. And how can we live out both this relationship with Jesus and also the relationships with others in a Christ-like manner? This morning I wanted to share with you a probably well-known passage that has become very important to me again over the last few weeks. And it really shows the message of the gospel very clearly in very few words in a beautiful poetic form. And I would like to read from Philippians 2:5-11. And you can either open your Bibles and turn to the passage, or just close your eyes and listen to the words. So Philippians 2:5. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This for me is one of the great summaries of the Christian life in the gospel. So let's look at the different aspects of this short passage and what conclusions we can draw out of it for our own lives. The introduction verse is taking us right into the situation we looked at, and at the problem of how are we going to live out our Christian life. A more literal translation of this first verse would be, "Think this among you as also in Christ Jesus." So in our relationships, we should be like Jesus to one another, by loving our neighbor as ourselves. This mindset of Jesus Christ and his example of faith is then laid out in the following verses, each of them very powerful and concentrated. Jesus being in very nature God, or more literal, in the form or the appearance of God, is one of the foundational beliefs of Christianity. So it's always good to start with something that important to set and define the rules. In John 10 verse 30, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." We see Jesus Christ not only as the Son of God, but also as God Himself at the same time, and part of the Holy Trinity, a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. He did not come in pomp and glory, as many Jews would expect, but rather He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. In Matthew 12, the apostle quotes a prophecy of the prophet Isaiah talking about the servant of the Lord. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." From Isaiah 42. And again from the famous passage about the coming Messiah in Isaiah 53. "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain." In the literal translation, it would be Jesus emptied himself. He let go of his divine authority to come down on this earth as a mere human and take the punishment of our sins on us. God could not just take away our sins, but somebody had to be punished for them. And this person had to be human, just like us. Therefore, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Only through this sacrifice of Jesus' body for our sins, we can now enter into a living relationship with our Creator God, who sent His Son Jesus Christ to be our Savior and restore God's presence with us. I think it is very striking what this actually means, and in our busy little lives we can sometimes forget about that. Crucifixion was a cruel death penalty that was only for the worst criminals at the time. The death process took hours, and the victim would lose its life and breath very slowly. Throughout these hours, many people came by, mocking Jesus and laughing at him while he slowly faded away. And Jesus could have come down this cross at any time to put an end to this horrible situation. But he didn't, and was obedient to death. Can you imagine the pain and then think about the tempting option of escaping this whole procedure? I know for myself that very often I do not live in the light of this reality. But for us as Christians, this should be absolutely key. This is the glorious truth about the gospel. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Out of his abundant love, God is willing to sacrifice his one and only Son, Jesus, to turn our sins into righteousness before him. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It was also from Hebrews 10:10. The consequence of Jesus' incredible obedience in the situation where it mattered most was that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. In the Bible, names play a very important role, and often the name of a person tells us a lot about their personality and character. The name Jesus, from the Hebrew Yeshua, means "the Lord saves." And notice the similarities here to the names Joshua and also Isaiah, which all means "God delivers and saves," and come from the Hebrew derivative of Yeshua. You could go on and play this game with many characters in the Bible, and you will find out that all their names have a meaning and purpose, most of the time referring to their particular mission or calling in life. And notice also, God exalted him to the highest place. After Jesus' resurrection, all visions of the apostles picture Jesus seated at the right hand of God, except for Stephen, who sees him standing at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 7. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us, Paul says. He is the mediator between God and mankind. In the Apostles' Creed, we affirm that from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. And since the resurrection, Christians have been waiting for the second coming of Christ that Jesus himself proclaims while talking about the end of times. In this light, the following verse clearly links with the prophecy of Isaiah, as well as the revelation of John. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, the prophet talks about the last days when all the people will turn to the Lord. And God says, "Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear." The Apostle Paul, who was an educated Jewish scholar, definitely knew this verse and makes his message very clear by using the same words and phrases. Jesus is the promised Messiah through whom all nations will be saved, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The book of Revelation picks up this theme, and in his vision of heaven, the Apostle John writes, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Again, the same words are used, and every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this last part is the essence of everything that was mentioned before. It is all to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' death and resurrection would have been without value if it was not to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus prays in John 17, verse 1, "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." In the end, all the glory goes to God, who had to pay the price of sacrificing his only Son, Jesus Christ, to make us sinful humans right with him and clear the debts. Now, there are many discipleship lessons in this passage, and Jesus himself says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." But this is often so difficult in our daily lives, and I often struggle thinking, I would love to be a better person and act more like Jesus. Especially at the start of this year, this was a big challenge to me in many ways. And after a few days of difficulty, I had to realize again, there's only Jesus who can make this change in my life. Not out of my own strength, but in his strength. And I realized that the real problem is that I'm still relying too much on myself and try to keep the control over my life. But it is not until I give full control to Jesus that things will start to change. And suddenly my life becomes his life, lived out by me for his purpose, and ultimately to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
All right, we would just love to finish this morning with you by singing the grace, which is something that we've done a couple of times at Cape and Ray. And it's the same words, but just, yeah, with song. And so I don't know if any of you have heard it before or not. But we'll just...
Wanted to tell you a little bit about our outreach church, because we were requested to do that. So each of us just going to share... Yeah, you can take a seat. Each of us just going to share a little bit of what they'll be doing. So, yeah, you can start, Abigail, if you'd like to.
Okay. I am going to be going to Cheadle Hume, near Manchester, and our church is St. Andrew's. And I will be going with a team of four people. And we will be doing a lot of children's ministry and some breakfast with the church there, and also some work doing lessons in schools. And so those are going to be the main things. And we're really excited about it. Our team is getting along great. If you would like to pray for us, one big prayer request would just be with our pastor. He has just moved or started at Cheadle Hume, or at the church there, about 8 months ago or so, and also his father just passed away about 2 weeks ago. And so it will be different just navigating that situation, since he's never been there when there's been a group from Cape and Ray before. And so we really just want to be an encouragement to him, as this is a hard time for him and his family. And yeah, so thank you so much.
So I'll be also going in a team of four down to Nottingham to Espley Evangelical Church, which is in a small suburb out of Nottingham, 1.5 miles. So it is medium-sized church of about, I would say between 100 and 150 people. So suburban area, which is very nice because there's very diverse people. I think there's over 20 nationalities, and all from very young kids up to elderly people, the whole range, so it's real nice. We'll be doing a lot of schools work, so from Monday to Friday we'll be in schools and presenting the Easter story by a little drama and acting, so we're all really excited for that, and then we will join in for the youth groups and home groups and Bible studies, but mainly concentrating on the schools work and for the other groups, just like assisting and co-leading. So yeah, for our schools would be prayer, just that we would be a light to them in the schools, and that we would sow a small seed that will probably grow over the years, and that they will remember so it will be a lot of primary schools, that they will remember just what we've been telling them about Jesus, and that later, maybe in their teenage years, they will follow up and want to learn more about that.
And me and Kate are going on a little trip to Italy. So there's three groups that were going outside of Britain. And so it was Italy, Germany, and Kenya. So we're on a team of 12. And we're going to be doing, we have events planned, like a youth event. And we have, we're going to schools for teaching religion, as well as we're going to teach English. And then we had a special request from the ladies in the church saying, can we have a proper English tea? So we're going to be hosting an English tea for these Italian women. So we're looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to that. I think it'll be lots of fun. So, and then we're going to be also doing some street evangelism, which will be something very new for me because I've never done that before. Prayer. For me personally, I'm very nervous about the language barrier. So right now, I know buongiorno, which is good morning, as well as a few other short greetings. But yeah, the Italian people do not know English, especially the older folks. The younger people are learning it now in schools. But just for the language barrier, that the Lord would bridge that, even without not having the same language. So.
Okay, and so now we will sing the grace together.
Are we going to sing it through once first?
So yeah, we can sing it through first, and you can join in for the second time. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forevermore and evermore and evermore. Amen.
So pretty easy.
All right, so let's go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forevermore and evermore and evermore. Amen. Thank you.